Hello, everyone, and welcome to our first ever podcast on holiday lets and short-term lets. I'm Sophie from Generation Rent, and today we're going to be talking about holiday lets. Generation Rent started campaigning on this issue after we saw a series of adverts on the London Tube, which were encouraging landlords to ditch tenants and chase higher profits from tourists. But it's become even more of an issue during the pandemic, with renters telling us about difficulties finding a home in common holiday hotspots, and even getting evicted to make way for many Airbnbs. So, to talk about this issue, we have Rachel Maskell, the MP for York City, Dr. Tom Simcock, the Research Fellow and Research Manager at the University of Huddersfield, and our very own Dan Wilson-Craw, the Deputy Director of Generation Rent. So, Rachel, I'm going to go to you first. So, what is the impact of holiday lets in York?
Well, we've seen exponential growth, particularly since the pandemic. Obviously, many people having more money available, and particularly London South East, people seeing York as a place of desirability and have been purchasing. So we've now got 2,132 short-term holiday lets, Airbnbs, known for short, although Airbnb is obviously a name of one of the digital platforms which manages the lets as well. And across the city, this is now taken into all of our communities. And what we've seen is a real loss of our housing stock for purchase, but also in our rental sector as well. As landlords, the average rental price is now £945 a month in York, and landlords, when they can make £700 over a weekend in an unregulated market, are seeing the opportunity to make more money. So we're seeing a plethora of Section 21 notices being issued, people being evicted from their home, and less rental as well available in a place where we don't have enough social or private rental in the first place. So this is having a catastrophic impact on the student community, on the residential community, but business is booming for Airbnbs. And what I'm classing this as is an extraction economy. So we're seeing housing extracted and money extracted because many of the people using these facilities are here, they're attending, some are being advertised for hen and stag, and therefore they're attending kind of the vertical drinking establishments, which don't really put a lot of money into the city. So instead of residents coming into York, we're seeing now a different culture in the city centre as well, but also the party culture being taken out onto family streets, and over the weekend, families reporting some more experiences of kind of the party culture in their quiet family streets. Where I've been starting to do a bit of research is also looking around some of the darker side of this as well. So we've got a house which is being used for drug dealing. We know there's been pop-up brothels, and also I'm hearing other forms of criminality being used in these establishments, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of the extent of that because I think we need to be aware of the whole agenda around these short-term holiday lets, the impact that it's having. And finally, I would say the impact this is having on people's opportunity in the economy, because what we're seeing is that as people are being evicted, they're having to leave the city because there's nothing else available, children being taken out of schools, but also that means a loss of skill to our city. So we can't supply many of the economic functions, the jobs that we need, because the cost of living in York, on top of this cost of living crisis, absolutely going through the roof, and people just simply can no longer afford to live here. So the negativity is that it's also heating up the housing market into this false bubble that we need to clearly pop in order to ensure that people can have access to housing, whether that is to rent or indeed to buy.
And we've been seeing issues like that everywhere. And Tom, you've studied Airbnb data in London. What have you learned from that phenomenon?
Thanks, Sophie. Yes, I think if we go back just about first thing about growth in the private rental sector and of landlordism as well. So since the global financial crash, there's been this substantial growth in the, it's increased by over approximately about 50%. and now houses around 4.6 million people. But there's also been this consolidation of property ownership within the sector, with the number of portfolio landlords growing from around 22% to around 55% in 2018. And that operates approximately 79% of all tenancies. So there's been this huge shift in, you know, portfolio multi-property landlords, not just someone renting out, you know, their own, you know, while they're waiting for it to be sold or anything like that. This is real investment into sort of owning additional properties. But there's also been a number of tax changes over the last decade, such as additional 3% stamp duty, changes to tax relief for finance costs, or what's more known as mortgage interest relief. But at that same time, that short-term holiday let market in London has been deregulated in terms of planning. Previously, before the Deregulation Act in 2015, you know, short-term lets were sort of unlawful in terms of change of use for planning purposes. And so there's also then at that same time been this development of new online platforms and economies, such as what's called the sharing economy and Airbnb. But as Rachel said about sort of, you know, it's not really a sharing economy in terms of, it's more that extraction economy in terms of these properties not being used for sharing purposes. It's not someone going onto the platform, putting on the property while they're away for a weekend and sharing space. It is more commercial operations that are being used over the longer term. And returning back to that mortgage interest relief issue, holiday lets are not now usually affected by these tax changes to mortgage interest relief, which provides that sort of additional financial incentive for landlords to change the use of that property. So then these platforms like Airbnb make it easier for landlords to access a global sort of audience, a customer base, and then easy to operate a short-term let. You know, it's a really easy platform to use to advertise property and get people in. So then these sort of platforms, through the prospect of short-term lets, then sort of in essence, sort of form of technological gentrification or displacement of people, as Rachel was saying, about people being forced out of their properties and their locations. And so if we have a look in London, before the pandemic, there was a 571% increase in entire home listings. So not just all Airbnb listings in London, but just the entire home listings, from just under 7,000 in 2015 to over 44,000. And this is just on Airbnb alone in 2019. Key element has also been that consolidation of property listings by commercial. So just 12% of the hosts operated 44% of listings in London in 2019. And just over 2,000 hosts had 2 to 4 entire home listings, while 8 hosts themselves had over 100 entire home listings on the platform. They might not be landlords themselves, but they might be sort of agencies operating on the market as well. And that's just in London. But I also found a 376% growth of multi-host listings between 2015 and 2019, and a 480% growth in entire home listings operated by multi-hosts between 2015 and 2019. So there's this huge growth in sort of the commercial aspect of sort of owning properties for short-term lets, which, as Rachel said, pushes then people out from their locations. And most of these have been sort of focused in inner London areas, you know, Westminster and other areas, but it is now spreading to outer London areas and regions because of there is decent transport links, but that is then putting pressure on more residential neighbourhoods and causing problems there as well going forward.
Thanks, Tom. And yeah, that is shocking. And I guess I pose it to Dan. Can you add more on what's happening on the national level?
So yeah, to really understand the scale of the issue at national level, we looked at tax data that the government publishes. And so holiday homes are either defined as second homes and therefore pay council tax, or they're defined as commercial holiday lets and therefore pay business rates. But in reality, a lot of those actually qualify for small business rate relief and so don't actually pay any local tax at all. That's a loophole that the government has been concerned about for a number of years and have taken action to actually close that by making operators of commercial holiday lets prove that they let the property out for a minimum period in order to qualify for that status. So we found from that data that there are 301,000 second homes in Great Britain and 95,000 commercial holiday lets. So a ratio of about 3 to 1 in that sector.
And Dan, what can we say about how this affects renters?
Yeah, so this is the reason we looked at it. Because, you know, we kept hearing from people who were being evicted to make way for holiday lets, or they were struggling to find live in these holiday destination areas. So in England, so we looked at the start of the pandemic in March 2020, and then compared that with what the picture was in August 2021. So in England and Wales as a whole, we didn't actually see a big change on aggregate, but because we did have regional data, we could see that the number of second homes and commercial holiday lets combined increased by about 5% in Wales and Southwest England between the start of the pandemic and summer 2021. So, you know, those two regions, which are maybe more dominated by second homes than others. And then over that period, where holiday homes had increased, over that same period, rental listings roughly halved and rents rose by about 16% in Wales and Southwest England. And in comparison, if you look at London during the pandemic, we know that from Zoopla data, listings of rented properties doubled and rents fell by about 25%. So, you know, there is this quite strong link between the number of listings and the level of rents. But then because we saw that increase in holiday homes, it does seem like the restrictions on international travel that we saw last year did encourage a lot of landlords to switch to holiday lets, and then that took homes out of the rental market.
Thank you. And Tom, what has been done to limit the impact of Airbnb across the country? In London?
So as I mentioned before, in 2015, it was sort of in London deregulated to an extent, in terms that the Deregulation Act limited Airbnb or those sort of short-term lets to a 90-night limit. So you could only let out property for a maximum 90 nights. Previously, you couldn't at all. And part of the problem then has been, well, how do you enforce that 90-night limit? It's a part of the planning. It takes a lot of effort for councils to even enforce it, to undertake an investigation, and getting the evidence together is a very long-winded process. So after a lot of sort of political and social sort of persuasion, Airbnb introduced their own technological sort of 90-night limit on the platform to limit any properties, and this is just in London. So there's this hard limit on the platform that you can't go over that without proof that you've got permission and the planning permission to go over that 99 limit. But what we have seen in terms of, there's been quite a few different investigations. There's a BBC investigation that showed that these agencies were bypassing this hard 99 limit on the platform by just setting up a new listing for the property. They're taking new photos, new advertisements, everything, and then just listing it again once they'd, you know, hit that timer. So then there's been that sort of loophole in a sense to go around that. But other than that, there hasn't been in London and England that much sort of progress in terms of limiting the impact. In Scotland, there is moves now to introduce sort of short-term let control areas, but the effect of those will have is to be seen in terms of how they'll actually work and the effect they'll have. But I think there is scope and there is a need to ensure that there is some sort of checks and balances in terms of the properties that can be advertised on sort of the property on the platform for the longer term, rather than someone just offering their spare space in their property for, you know, a weekend while they're away. You know, if people are on holiday, you know, fair enough, you want to get a bit of extra cash, you know, especially in the cost of living crisis, to, you know, maximise, you know, the assets that you have. But it does also then lock out people another 10 years from maximising on that space as well. So there is, you know, issues around this as well. So at the moment, there isn't much that's being done to limit it. And the efforts it does take in London, especially for councils in terms of enforcement, is really difficult as well. And yeah, so hopefully there'll be action going forward as well in terms of other options.
And I guess then I go to Rachel, and I guess, what do you think some of the solutions are to address these issues outlined by Dan and Tom?
Well, right now in Parliament, there's the Levelling Up and Regeneration Bill, and some of us are trying to amend that piece of legislation to bring in proper regulation around the short-term holiday let industry. But failing that, I've got a private member's bill as well, due for its second reading on the 9th of December, where I will be making the case for a licensing regime. Airbnb talk about registration, and the Department for Digital Culture, Media and Sports is currently consulting on the issue of registration, but that doesn't go far enough. Yeah, it's one thing about knowing where these properties are. We can deduct most of that information from the websites which are promoting these platforms. What we're more interested in is ensuring they're properly regulated. So first of all, creating a level playing field with current B&Bs and guest houses, ensuring proper health and safety is in place, fire regulations, etc., really important. Going beyond that, so we've been looking at some of the models in Europe and elsewhere in the world where they've introduced fines for where there is noise and disruption in properties, right through to the Scottish model, where they are saying that there are whole areas now which could apply for exemption. What we want to do through this legislation is empower local authorities. We recognise that some local authorities may want to promote short-term holiday lets because they want to encourage a tourism industry to come to their areas, perhaps where they have a lot of vacant properties at the moment, attract people to come and work in their area. But in areas, particularly where there's holiday destinations, you will want to bring in controls. So we want to see some fair revenue. There's a couple of suggestions out there at the moment. I know Tim Farron, the MP for the kind of part of the Lake District, is saying a new class of for taxation in a local authority for short-term holiday lets. I think that's an interesting idea, or indeed enabling local authorities to put a multiplier on the council tax from these properties, because at the moment, not paying anything in but still using refuse services, etc., it's really important. But also ensuring that local authorities have got the right to say no to a license. And I think this is really important around communities and streets. So family streets are being stripped out, and the stories we hear is that families and street life just can't operate as normal. So if there is objections raised, that the council needs to look at those objections, bringing a curb and control. It doesn't mean that there can't be short-term holiday lets, but it means that the priorities switch. So as opposed to this right in the hierarchy of things to have a holiday let, actually the rights of residents come first, and that's really what we want to see being instituted.
That's great. And going to Dan, is there anything else that you think that needs to happen?
Yeah, so we've been thinking about this, and it's pleasing to see that, you know, the government has taken action on consulting around a register. We're going to be arguing alongside Rachel that we need, you know, a level of licensing there, just so that councils can control the numbers in their areas. I think one thing that we're most concerned about is that since the changes to residential landlord taxation in around seven years ago, it has suddenly become much more lucrative for landlords to switch to holiday lets where the local tourist market kind of allows them to let out properties, you know, sufficient times for a sufficient amount of time during the year. So we need to see I mean, that's the one thing that the government could do at a national level. It's all, but you know, we think it should be a blanket approach, just to make sure that landlords aren't given any, you know, further reason to switch away from tenancies and towards tourist lets. That's the mortgage interest relief that holiday lets currently get, but private landlords don't. That's the one thing, in addition to, I think, the other efforts that are being pursued. I mean, you know, I think one of the things, one argument is that, well, if there's a big demand for tourist accommodation, short, you know, particularly safe self-catering accommodation, that's fair enough. But I think if it's easy for a landlord to buy up a new home that's been built, or indeed any home that's on the market, and then let it out to tourists rather than that home being available to local people who are working locally, then we're going to continue seeing that distortion within the market. So that's why we need to look at income tax changes as well.
Great. That brings us to the end of the podcast, but I'd like to say thank you so much to each of you for your contribution, and thank you to Rachel Maskell, the MP for the City of York, Dr. Tom Simcock, the Research Fellow and Research Manager at the University of Huddersfield, and to the Deputy Director of Generation Rent, Dan Wilson-Crawl. You can also join us in part of our campaign by signing a petition to close the holiday let tax loophole. You can do so at www.generationrent.org/homes, not hotels. And that's all from us today. Thank you very much.